Everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Shop and Chivalry Podcast. My guest today is somebody I've had on before. His name is Greg Gibson. Greg is running for alderman in Ward 1. And Greg and I talk about primarily his experience in the election. Now, the first part, we're kind of talking about, you know, kind of catching up and whatnot. And he's sharing these wonderful stories about just by walking through Fort Bayou or Culioca or Monticello. People are telling him his problems, and he seems to be finding solutions to them. He's making a phone call right then and there, and in a day or two or within a week, those problems are fixed. He's literally doing the work of an alderman before he's an alderman. I think that's something pretty meaningful to take away. Now, Greg and I also discussed some of the ugly sides of the election that he nor I were able to anticipate. It seems that the bleeding of the election for being so, I don't know, aggressive at the national level seems to have permeated even the local elections. And that came out, and hasn't been exciting to watch. Greg shares stories about perhaps maybe because of the color of his skin, he's been treated differently and marginalized throughout the election. It's a sad thing, really. In any case, Greg and I have a great discussion, and he's a wonderful man, and I'm so happy that I got to meet him through really this podcast and for his decision to run for alderman in the city of Ocean Springs. He's a great dude and somebody I truly call a friend, and I know you're going to enjoy this episode. Everybody, please welcome Mr. Greg Gibson. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Shop and Chivalry Podcast. I'm here with my guest again, Greg Gibson. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Excellent. And so Greg, you're running for alderman in Ward 1, right?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. How has it been?
It's been a marathon, but, you know, it's not a sprint, so it is a marathon, but it's all good. And I have met some dynamic residents in Ward 1.
What have they been saying to you? I mean, what's been the flavor of it all?
It's just the small stuff. The inroads, communication is the big thing, and making sure that their voice is being heard, and and also in return, getting information back from them, and the little small work orders from public works that need to be filled and getting taken care of and addressed. So it's been really. We're good.
So while you're campaigning, you're still taking care of these citizens. Isn't that the job of the aldermen themselves?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And I have responded and told them I'm not the sitting alderman, you know, but what I can do.
Yet.
But what I can do is pick up the phone and make a phone call and try to address some of those issues that they're having.
And how has that been going for you?
Been really good. Okay. Been real receptive. I was in Monticello Wood last weekend, you know, canvassing the neighborhood, and had the Saturday sliders, and was down there, and they had a bunch of debris that's been sitting in the middle of the cul-de-sac. Mm-hmm. And so I just immediately sent out a text message and got a response back from Public Works, and they immediately dispatched a truck out there and start picking it up. And then the actual handle on the truck, one of the hydraulic lines bust.
Oh, okay.
And so they had to come back on Monday, and they finished cleaning up the debris, and people was appreciative of that.
Yeah, I've got no doubt. And again, all that took was a text message.
Right.
Doesn't seem that difficult. So how often are you walking the neighborhoods?
I was out there last Saturday at Monticello. This past Saturday, I was in Culioca 1 and 2, which is the big Culioca, and in my neighborhood as well. And then I went back into Fort Bayou yesterday. So it's been a whirlwind, and I've had some folks that's been working with me, cameras in the neighborhood. So tremendous response. Good response.
Yeah, and it takes that kind of energy, you know, it takes somebody with that kind of energy and that tenacity to stay in the neighborhoods and take responsibility for the neighborhoods. And, you know, I see that's certainly what you're doing, because again, you're not the alderman, but you're taking responsibility, even though it's not your primary responsibility. You're saying, well, yeah, but it's my ward, it's my neighborhood, whatever.
Yes.
I owe it to myself and my community members to be part of the solution here. Where does that come from for you?
It's how I was raised. It starts with the family, you know, that family background, you know, the base, because we were always taught, you know, my aunt who actually raised me, because my mother passed away when I was 9 months, and she would always say, what I am going to teach you is how to cook, clean, and iron your own clothes. And so you will not be a disadvantage to your spouse. And so I said, well, I got it. And, yeah. And I would always tell my wife, I said, one thing about it, I come with the full package, you know, to be able to take care of myself and take care of your, to take care of you or our kids if we have any issues that going on. And so that's where that comes from, you know, from my family and the, and of course, church too. You know, we were always taught at Macedonia, we start out young, mm-hmm. you know, in our youth department, we was 2 and 3 years old up saying Easter speeches and stuff. So that was a part of it. You know, that's a part of our growth. So that base right there, that's where that comes from.
What does your faith do for you as a public servant?
Well, I tell you one thing. Sometimes
it gives you patience.
Yes, it does. It does give you patience.
Allows you to forgive people.
Yes. Yeah. And it allows me to take a deep breath and take a step back and refer to what we've been taught from day one as a child, you know, and it always states that if you have an ought against your brother, you go to him.
Yeah.
And so, of course, that's what I do. If I have a issue, I'm going to go to you and call you and tell you, this is what was said, and I need to know if you're saying this, I need you to stop it. And if it's not, then I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on. Once I've said what I have to say, I'm going to say my piece, mm-hmm. and I need you to say your piece, and then I'm going to move on. But walking in neighborhoods, and like I've been telling all the residents in Ward 1, it's not going to stop. Regardless if I'm in office or not, I'm going to still be involved in Ward 1 in the city of Ocean Springs, you know, down at City Hall, expressing our opinion and to be able to address some issues that we have in Ward 1, as well as the whole city of Ocean Springs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and we need people like you, yeah. you know, and ideally we need people with that vigor to be in office so they can take care of it more administratively, you know, with the benefit of law on their back. But again, community members leading from within the community are vitally important.
Yes.
You know, for sure.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
But okay, so what are some of the things, the positive things that you've been hearing on the campaign trail? I'm sure, like, give us some examples of some of the things that you've been able to help people with.
Well, I met a lady who's been in Fort Bayou yesterday for 44 years, and she has some drainage issues behind her yard. And I took a picture of it and I made notes, and she says, thank you for coming by and talking to me
yeah.
and looking at the issue. And I said, what I can do is make a phone call and I will follow back up with you on Monday, which is tomorrow, and which we'll be following up with her. And then I met another young lady that I knocked on her door, and she said, you're the first one who's ever came and knocked on my door. And she said, need to say no more. You've got my vote because you're listening to what I'm trying to get here, or what issues that we're having
yeah,
here
yeah.
in Fort Bayou. I said, well, thank you so much. And it's, we had another gentleman that's having a problem with the mosquito population in the back of his yard. I said, I don't know who is exactly who's in charge of the mosquito control.
Yeah.
But I said, but what I can do is get on the phone and call City Hall or call Jackson County and see who's responsible for going through the neighborhood and spraying and when it will start spraying for mosquitoes.
Yeah. I pay attention to the way people speak, mm-hmm. right? I think that the language we used is often, we don't know, but it exposes something subconscious mm-hmm. within ourselves. Like the language we use, we don't realize, but it's actually, it's telling.
Yes.
I've heard you say plenty of times in the conversations that we've had about a conversation, you'll describe possible solutions, but you always lead with, but what I can do. So you're always approaching an issue, as far as I can tell, mm-hmm. or as I can tell from the perspective of, I understand how the process works. Okay. I know what I can and can't do, but I'm going to do something about this, and I'm telling you what I can do. You know, why do you put that out there, that like, I may not be able to fix the whole problem, but I'm going to do whatever I can for you. Like, why do you just want to, like, sacrifice your time and everything for just random people?
Well, you know, people have put in time with me and invested in me. You know, as a young boy growing up, Reverend Trotter invested in me. Miss Trotter invested in me. Miss McCarthy invested in me. These are people. Mr. Moblin invested in me. You know, Mr. Harris invested in me, the former CEO of the YMCA. He invested in me. You know, the Lemons invested in me. But these are people who I grew up with, their kids, who have made a tremendous impact on me, my older siblings who have invested in me. I mean, so why not? You know, it's time to give back. And I just want to just give back to the city of Ocean Springs, give back to Ward 1. And I'm not in it for the long haul. You know, I know we need to pass the torch. You know, I'm not saying I'm going to make a whole political career out of this. I just want to serve and then pass the torch on. I do not want to, you know, make it up, you know, being there for 15 or 20 years or something like that. You know, serve a term and move on.
Right. Well, you know, and I'm sure we're going to get to this, but there's been evidence of well, it's not as polite on the campaign trail as people thought.
Right.
But one thing I do want to highlight before we get to that, what you're talking about, sacrificing the things you have to confront issues, is the anthropological definition of leadership. It's I've got these gifts bestowed to me, right?
Right.
Either inherited, blessed to me, unearned, maybe, like an ability to articulate, like there's just some people have it, right?
Right.
But then leadership occurs when you're willing to sacrifice those things to confront the danger, to confront the issues. And you're doing so, putting yourself out there in between the community and the danger.
Right.
Right, like that is leadership, right?
Right,
spelled out. I see that. That's what you're doing,
right?
And it fires me up, you know. And so I'm curious, you know, what? How do you continue to have the energy to do that for just random people?
Well, Brian, if you speak the truth, and that's all people want is the truth. If you tell them what you're going to do, and if it's something that is not the truth, you know, and then you start backpedaling. So if you speak the truth and have people engage and follow back up with them, this is what I found out, you know, this is what we can do. This is what we cannot do because of these reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to give you the reasons why. And if it's something that doesn't make sense to me or you, then I need to say, okay, let's look at another option. So it's all about speaking the truth. And I think in politics, if you speak the truth, then people will gravitate to you and want to be a part of what you have and what you got going on and will support your platform and your issues.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they want, is they just want the truth and not getting, you know, put on the back burner.
Yeah. Well, and truth is sort of the intersection of the spoken word and what you can observe, right?
Right.
So and again, you can trust when those things intersect, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think of the book of Matthew, right? Yep. You judge a tree by the fruit that it bears.
That's exactly right.
You know? Yep. So and again, what I'm seeing from you is that you're getting out there, you're walking the streets, you're fixing issues that are an alderman's responsibility before your alderman as a statement of proof. This is what I'm capable of, this is how easy it is.
Yes.
And I'm just gonna body this responsibility.
Absolutely.
You know? Well, what's been, I can tell you from my perspective, watching the campaign, Ocean Springs has reared its ugly head.
Yes.
There's been things that have been said about candidates running for mayor, the behavior, which I described not too long ago as Gestapo-like behavior, attacking somebody for individual characteristics, not about the issue, the way somebody maybe looks or what you know, sexual orientation they are. And I find it reprehensible. One, because it has absolutely nothing to do with the issues of the campaign. And to be forcing that conversation out means that you don't really have a counter to the actual issues.
Right.
So you're strawmanning the individual.
Right. Right.
Greg, have you experienced any of that?
Yes, I have. And but I can tell you, again, like I said, if you have a alt against your brother, you just go to him. And I'm just here to run a clean election. And what we need to do is based on the people who actually run and take all that out of there, you know. And Ocean Springs is better than that, you know. And I know Ocean Springs is better than that, and Ward 1 is better than that, you know. We have got to look at the issues, and we got to, you know, hit those issues head on. You know, we cannot sit up here and start throwing stones, because that's what it's not about, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be a part of that, and I'm not going to go down that road, you know, with people throwing stones. But what I can tell you is, if I'm in office or not, I'm going to still be down there and holding, you know, individuals accountable, you know, because that's what it's all about. It's mm-hmm. about accountability. It's not based on the color of your skin. It's not based on likes or dislikes or what neighborhood you stay in. It's not based on that. In order for this town and Ward 1 to move forward, it's got to be based on people having everybody at the table, not a certain population, not a certain group. It's all about everybody. The board should be made up of the entire makeup of Ocean Springs, not about a certain people, period.
Right.
That's what it should be made of.
Yeah.
Period. And then how do we do that? We go out actively recruiting people who want to serve, you know, on these different boards. As long as we have a makeup of everybody in Ocean Springs at the table, Ocean Springs is going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you want to talk about some of the criticisms that you've been given?
Yeah. Yeah. I have, you know, and it was said that I'm, you know, not a part of one certain neighborhood. And I would not represent Ward 1 at all. That's not true. I'm a part of Ward 1. I don't live in that certain neighborhood, but I am a part of Ward 1.
Yeah.
You know, period. You know, so for me not to be able to say that I'm not going to serve Ward 1 is just crazy.
Well, let me tell you how crazy that is. First of all, it's a logical fallacy, but that and whoever's saying that lives in a portion of Ward 1. Mm-hmm. And by virtue of their statement, and especially if this individual is involved in politics, you can't represent Ward 1 because you live in only one neighborhood of Ward 1. Mm-hmm. So then you, as an individual, wherever you live in Ward 1, you can't represent Ward 1 because you only live in that one neighborhood.
Right.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Right. All right. So it's that type of stuff. And, you know, I've always been told as a young guy, growing up, you know, some stuff you just have to brush off and you have to let it go. I can remember I was talking to Reverend Trotter and he said, sometimes you have got to confront those devils, you know, head on and let them know exactly where you stand.
Well, that's the hero story.
Yeah,
that's, you know,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And once you tell them where you stand, you have to move on and you have to let them know after you have said your piece and you move on, one thing you can do, you can continue on to speak to them without holding an alt against them, and that's yeah. exactly what I'm going to do.
Well, you know, I was having a conversation with Sarah Bogier yesterday, and she and I had a conversation about the homeless population in Ocean Springs, mm-hmm. and I was explaining to her that I didn't realize that it was an issue, and I told her about this experience about when people started talking about it in Ocean Springs, I actually started to look for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I had seen all the people before, but for some reason I didn't associate in my mind with that being like a homeless problem. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It was as if by calling it out, it forced me to take responsibility mm-hmm. for it. And so I think Reverend Trotter.
Yep.
Trotter. Mm-hmm. So I think the message to take away from that is that if they're not going to acknowledge their sinister behavior, maybe sinister is too strong of a word, but if they're not going to acknowledge that themselves so that they can take responsibility, by you calling it out, you're forcing the opportunity to take responsibility on them,
mm-hmm.
which should ultimately lead to some sort of guilt if they have a conscience.
Right. Right.
You know?
Right. And that the homeless population, you know, I was asked, that was one of the questions that I was asked on one of the aldermen forum, and then, you know, the Interfaith Hospitality, and that group was formed where different churches in Ocean Springs took care of that piece of it. And so instead of rewriting the book, let's go back and dust off what we had in place several years ago. And I was a part of that group, you know, getting the different churches involved to make sure that we take care of the homeless population and they could have a place to stay. So it rotated from church to church in Ocean Springs. So this is nothing new, but we just need to dust off those policies. And
I think it needs to evolve.
Yes.
You know, I was, again, a conversation I was having, we were talking about this, and, you know, the role that churches play is hugely important.
Yes.
Right? But a lot of the model seems to be, we're going to give them a place where they can rest their head, come inside during inclement weather.
Yes.
Things of that nature.
Yeah.
But correcting the conditions that led to homelessness is a far more complex issue.
Right.
You know, and I think that that's really where the meat and potatoes is. Mm-hmm. Here's something interesting, though. I think the resources to take care of the homeless in Ocean Springs and get them out of those conditions, those resources exist in Ocean Springs. If Ocean Springs wants to take it on head first, right? And I'm talking about as a community, so individuals as well. Consider this. More than 70% of residents in Ocean Springs did not qualify for a stimulus check. Do you know what that means?
Yep.
It means there's a lot of money here.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So again, the resources exist. More than 70% of residents did not qualify for it's outrageous. But it wasn't something that we really talked about on this podcast because again, I didn't realize what it is. What can the city do more of there?
Well, we have United Way of Jackson County, Jackson and George County. They have a whole resource center, and we need to pull those resources and stop trying to reinvent the wheel when we have those resources in place. So we got the nonprofit organizations, we got the churches, and we got the community at large. And if we just pull those resources together, identify what their strengths and weaknesses are, you know, I can do this better than you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pull all those resources together, and I guarantee you we will solve that issue because we've got to get people. We have so many openings with jobs, you know, and that's all about training, you know.
Yeah.
Training so they can make a decent wage and get them back functioning as a productive citizen in Ocean Springs or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. But the resources are here. We just need to pull this plan together because every organization does stuff different or specialize in a certain area. Mental health, you know.
That's a big one.
Yeah, that is a big one.
Veterans as well.
Yes, and we got some good mental health organizations along the Gulf Coast. Mm-hmm. It's all about pulling those resources together. And how do we pull those resources together? We just got to bring people together and talk about it and formulate a plan and move forward with it.
Yeah. You know, one of the reasons I think that having this corrective aspect of it, why it has to be a part of it, because consider this problem.
Okay.
If you get really good at fixing homelessness, just like anywhere you work, if you're really good at something, what happens? You get more work. You get more work
to do.
So it becomes a problem that where it's isolated locally to, say, Ocean Springs. If we get really good at housing the homeless population, more homeless are going to come in here, which is going to create homelessness because the resources that were established were just for that level of homelessness, right?
Right.
Does that make sense?
It makes more.
Yeah, so it's certainly important. But what other issues have you grown more aware of since the campaign started?
Well, I know just the issues that I've seen on the campaign trail. It's just mind-boggling how people perceive you one way, and when they don't know you, and when they get to know you, and say, "Oh, it's nothing what people describe you as." And so having that one-on-one conversation with them to be able to explain who I am, you know, say, I have seen you, but I don't know you. And it's good that I have the opportunity to sit down and talk with you on this campaign trail.
Yeah.
And because they know they're getting the opportunity to meet Greg Gibson. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not the way that people describe you as, you know. And so I said, well,
which of course the question is, well, what does that mean?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and so, as a troublemaker or, you know, the one who stirs the pot, I say, it's not stirring the pot. It's about getting to the root of the problem and addressing those issues. So,
stirring the pot. I just had a thought about, like, that's a weird thing to say, you know, in the context of Mississippi, you know, being a troublemaker. What does that mean? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't help but think that there might be a possibility that somebody's saying that. Bear with me.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody might be saying that from the perspective of maybe a prejudice.
Right.
Right. Right. Like not knowing your place.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So, I really hope that maybe subconscious or maybe bias that people have is not coming out. Do you think that's what some of that is, or am I overthinking that?
No, I don't think you're overthinking it. We're going to call it what it is. And you have to understand the demographic of Ocean Springs, less than 8% is made up of African American.
Yeah.
Period. You know, and that's... it's what it is. But what I can tell people is, you know, don't judge me based on my exterior. You know, judge me based on my qualification and what I bring to the table. And so, you know, that's what I want people to understand. You know, again, I want the board, I want the other municipal boards that we have here in Ocean Springs to be a makeup of the entire population of Ocean Springs and not a certain group of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, there's got to be some representation here.
Yes.
You know, and that population and even the greater minority population right. is growing in Ocean Springs.
Right.
You know, there's no doubt about it. Yeah. So the demographics are making a move. And so, without getting into too many details, I've heard many stories from people that are Republican or women that aren't Republican enough or don't fit the mold. And that's come out in this election, and it's been disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's borderline xenophobic,
yeah.
You know. Greg, how do you manage that?
Well, it's difficult sometimes, but I tell you one thing. Sometimes you get where, do I belong? And then I have to regroup, re-energize, and recharge myself. And that's why I go to, I'm so glad we're back in church.
Right.
You know, when I tell you I'm so glad we're back in church. But parking lot church service is good, but once you go inside of the sanctuary, and it's just a building, that's all it is, it's just a building. But when you walk inside of your church, or inside of a church, you know, that's my serenity, that's my peace. You know, where I get the opportunity just to recharge and listen at the message, you know, and sometimes the message hits you across the head and say, I'm talking about you, you know, I'm coming down your street. That's what Rebel Robinson said. And I'm, you know, stopping in your driveway because I want to make sure you understand what I'm trying to say to you. And that resonates inside of me and recharge me, you know, for the upcoming week. And then I look back over the week exactly. Now, did I help anybody this week? Or did I say hello to somebody? Or did I miscommunicate? Or did I say something to offend somebody? You know, so I go back and try to make sure that I, you know, have my checkoff list or my checkoff box. Who can I help? Or what did I say? Or did I say anything to hurt their feelings or anybody's feelings? And then, you know, I said, well, let me think about it. I could have did it this way or could have said it this way. But that's how I balance it all. I just, you know, church is what it is.
It's amazing that you take that much stock into your actions in life. And it's not, it shouldn't be surprising, right? We should all be doing that.
Yeah, we should. Right?
But it's like you're literally forcing responsibility on yourself to say, everything that I do, all my interactions, I could have probably done something better.
Yes.
I could have probably been inconsiderate at some point. I need to do better. Like, it's amazing to me that you take that much stock into just your day-to-day life.
I was driving over here and I looked at a sign and it says, be kind to animals. And that, and it's heading over here as you're going towards Pascagoula. And I said, now, if they're saying be kind to animals, why can't we be kind to each other?
So it's so interesting that you brought that up, because again, talking, I interviewed Sarah Bogier mm-hmm. yesterday. That's why this is so, so fresh on my mind. But we were talking about, she was talking about how she got hired in at a job, and her employer, they had some homeless people outside, and the employer was like, hey, look, I probably shouldn't say this, but remember, don't feed the homeless. Don't feed the animals is actually what he said. Mm. Don't feed the animals. And so we got onto this discussion about why somebody would say something like that. But then it occurred to me that they're denigrating the status of human. Mm-hmm. Because animals, like, I love cats, mm-hmm. love dogs, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm kind to those animals.
Right.
But then one of the basic things that you do to be kind to an animal is give it food.
Right.
But you're literally saying, like, don't even be that kind,
right.
Which means you're putting them on a substrata yeah. lower than even the animals that you would otherwise be kind to.
Right.
Like, it's wild, yeah, right?
It is. It's very wild. And I was just looking at that sign, you know, driving over here, and I said, that's something. But
yeah,
it's a disconnect somewhere, because we need to be kind to each other. And I think that would go a long way. Just be kind.
Why do you think that is, though? Why do you think that we're so competitive to the point where we can't be kind to people, or we don't want to be, or we make a conscious choice not to be?
We just make a conscious choice not to be.
Yeah.
And it's just people gonna do what they wanna do and say what they wanna say. And it's all about the individual. It's how you was raised and mm-hmm. how you was brought up and you know, and then I look at, you know, who are you around, you know, and your friends, your family, people who you're associate with on a daily basis and stuff yeah. like that. And I think, I mean, we know who we want to be around, because we all have the same likes or dislikes or have something in common.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an intertwined thread between what we have and stuff like that, that we foster that relationship with our friends and family.
Yeah, I certainly believe that you're the average of the five people that you spend the most time with.
Yeah.
You know, but again, you've also got friends. Like, I got friends I can talk money with,
yeah.
other friends I can't.
Right.
You know, there's certain friends I can talk, you know, combat sports with, other friends I can't.
Right.
I can play basketball with some friends, they can barely keep up with me, but yeah. but you get my point. Yeah, 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 certainly. Yeah. So, you know, Greg, I want to ask this question, and I hope it's not too tough, mm-hmm. but you know, your family sees you going through all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I met your daughter Whitney,
mm-hmm.
right? And do you have how many other kids?
I got my nephew. I'm raising my nephew.
Okay,
Troy.
And then how old is he?
Troy is 12. He'll be 13 next week.
So you say, well, happy birthday.
Yeah.
You know, well, welcome to those teenage years.
Yeah.
But Whitney's, you know, she's a college graduate,
yeah.
you know. She's wise enough to interpret things in the world on her own.
Yeah.
She sees you going through this.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is going through her mind?
She, you know, and I tell Whitney all the time, I tell her that her generation is going to be the game changer moving forward.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm just the vessel, and I'm just, you know, laying the groundwork and the platform for you guys to come on aboard and take over. And that's what I, you know, her generation is going to do. And I think moving forward, her generation is going to do some great things. And for not only for this country, for this town, wherever she decides to end up, if she decides to move back to Ocean Springs, but it's going to be that group to move this country and this city to the next level.
Yeah, honestly. So, in terms of incentive, it seems less likely that she could take a positive outcome from those. And again, I'm basing this just as a generality, right? because she sees you, mm-hmm. who's obviously a genuine, kind man. Mm-hmm. I have no doubt that mm-hmm. that leads to you being a good father, mm-hmm. you know, church going, mm-hmm. you've got your values. Mm-hmm. And yet, despite all those things, which are remarkable mm-hmm. things for any one person to do, mm-hmm. right? You still get this pressure levied upon you unfairly, either calling you names, either explicitly or implicitly saying things about you.
Right.
Right. She doesn't have an incentive to be anything but resentful and right. angry about that.
Right. Right.
You
right.
know, so what conversations are you having with her about this? Because honestly, like that's what I think of. Like you're a strong man who's had a lifetime of probably having to deal with these nuanced things mm-hmm. here or there. And again, yeah. maybe worse than nuance.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you've developed a way around that, you know, to kind of get through it and continue to survive. She's young.
Yeah, she is.
She hasn't experienced that in life.
No.
You know?
Because I protected her.
Yeah.
And but what I can tell you, witness it, well, Daddy, why are you doing this? Are you going to say something to them and that saying these bad things about you? And I tell her, I say, what I can do is go
I
to
I love this. What I can do.
I can go to them and have this conversation. But what you're not going to do is bring this in onto my family. These, you know, saying these nasty kind, you know, not so kind words and stuff like that. That's what you're not gonna do.
Yeah.
Because what you're not, it's two things you don't mess with. You don't mess with people, money or their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we're dealing with both here. And we're not gonna do this. You know, and I tell Whitney all the time, I'm gonna protect you, but I need you to stand up for yourself. When you see wrong, you just call it what it is. And that means you start losing friends because you're speaking out, because you're telling the truth. And that's okay, because you're gonna make many more new friends. But once people see that you're speaking out and standing up for the right reason, they're gonna respect you a whole hell of a lot more.
It's yeah, and it's tough to learn at a young age, but yes. the friends that you have right now might not be the friends you're gonna have for life.
Right.
You know, because once you start to identify things and develop your personality yes. through your own experiences, you're going to start confirming your beliefs.
Yes.
And the way that you act is based on what you believe. And so you're gonna have an attrition of friends and then people that believe what you believe, they'll follow you based on that.
Right.
That's again, back to leadership,
yep.
you know? Yeah. So what kind of conversations do you have with, say, your nephew about this as a, you know, kind of getting into teenage years? I mean, is he aware of these things? Does he experience any of this or?
He has, you know, we were, you know, downtown City Hall doing the protest of the flag. And so I said, let me just tell you why. And give you some background information, and I want you to read through it. I want you to talk about it, and yeah. if you have any question of concerns, let's talk about it. This is why I'm doing this. You know, Troy is a smart individual, and mm-hmm. And I laugh sometimes with some of this. He say he's a good jokester, but really and truly, I say, well, it's not funny to be Troy, but anyhow, but he understands and he sees it. And my job is to teach him and give him the basic fundamentals. And he's getting that. He's getting it at home, he's getting it at school, and he's getting it at church, you mm-hmm. know? So, and he's getting it with his family. So when you have those components in place, you know, he's gonna be all right, you know. And I tell him, I don't want you to be a follower. I need you to be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so happened. This month we got a nice letter from his principal, you know, talking about all the qualities about being a good leader in school. And that was, you know, that was something. You know, I got a phone call from the principal, and then they sent a letter to
that's amazing.
Yeah. So all of that work that you put in and you see that, it pays off.
Is he in seventh grade, eighth grade?
He's in sixth grade.
Sixth grade, uh-huh. Okay.
He'll be going to the middle school next year.
Okay. Is he going to be playing sports?
Football.
Football?
He said.
What about basketball?
No. Nah.
He don't play basketball?
He played in the rec league, but that's just.
Not his thing.
No.
Huh? What position does he play in football?
He said he want to play tight end and he want to play linebacker. So
okay,
yeah,
interesting.
He's a big kid.
Yeah, you know, a tight end is not a very attractive position, but man, they're game changers. Yes. In football. I had a conversation with my dad one time, and this was kind of around the election. Mm-hmm. And, you know, political ideologies were front and center, yeah. You know, and so it was, there's a lot of pressure on people that believe in the right side of the aisle, like my dad does. They were feeling pressure, mm-hmm. you know, because again, what was happening is they were strawmanning Republicans, much like Republicans strawman Democrats. Anyway, he was like, we were having lunch in public, right? Uh-huh. And he kind of leans over, you know, like this, and does one of these things, right? and he goes, man, it's I have to have a talk with your brother, my brother, who's in 11th grade. Mm-hmm. Like, look, you can't talk about what you believe. It's not real safe, you know, like mm-hmm. all these things. It's like, you can't really talk about, you know, your Republican preferences or whatever. If he even has them, he's right. in 11th grade.
Right.
But he was telling me that he was having this conversation, and I leaned back over to him and I said, Dad, what do you think black families have been doing for yeah. since the end of the Civil War?
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. and he leans back and he goes, you know, I never thought about that. Mm-hmm. So do you, I'm not going to say, well, I mean, I should say it because it's probably true. When you go through the election and people are saying these things about you, I'm sure there's an element of you're surprised, but then are you surprised?
I'm not surprised.
Okay. Do you feel, and again, bear with me on this, mm-hmm. okay? Do you feel almost like prepared for it because, you know, maybe you've experienced some of this before?
Yes. And
not to say anybody can truly be be prepared for it.
Yeah, but you know.
It's just like this again.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's wearing its ugly head. So,
yeah.
So you have to regroup and you have to strategize. And so I had to regroup and strategize and say, okay, this is how I'm going to turn this tide around.
Yeah.
And so I had to go in and talk to some of my white colleagues and express my opinion. And I said, well, Greg, I hate that you're going through this, but, you know, this is the nature of the beast what we're living in right now today. So let's figure out a way, how do we counteract this? And so that's what I did. You know, had to regroup and reorganize my campaign and move it in a totally different direction. Mm-hmm. Enable when I start knocking on doors to get people to understand and listen. And the outcome has been much better than previously mm-hmm. when I was knocking on doors.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's really good to hear.
So
what's, do you have any message you want to get out to the voters of Ward 1 for the election, which I think is what, June 8th?
Mm-hmm.
June 8th?
Yeah. And I want them to get out and vote, but also look at the individual, you know, not what's been told to you. Look at their platform and you decide who's going to be the best person for the job.
Decide for yourself, not borrow perspective.
Right. You know, one thing I can't, I was talking to a lady yesterday, and one of the things that came out was that it's not, this torch is not given to you. You know, ultimately the residents of Ward 1 decide who they want in office. And I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah.
When she said that yesterday, and I thought, you know what, you are absolutely right. You know, just because you served in this this position, you know, that don't make it right that you're saying, I'm going to give this person the torch and this is the right person for the job. No, the residents of Ward 1 choose who they want, and they have a choice who they want to be in there.
I'd go one step further and say that they're giving you permission to lead them.
Yes.
That's what voting is.
Yes.
Is that they've, if the power is invested or is vested with the people, then a vote is permission granted.
Yes.
You know, which
yes.
so everything that you do is in service to the people that are giving you permission to operate and represent them. And I think that's a humble perspective that needs to be had,
yes.
which I know you have.
Yes.
But that some people, the way they kind of talk and project out, it's like, it's almost an entitled sense of leadership here, but it's not.
Right.
At the roots of it, it's service.
Yes.
That's why they call it public service.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's about your ability to pull people together and draw them in and listen at their perspective, because we don't know everything. And I'm telling you some great ideas, you know, just talking to some of the residents, and we were talking about the sidewalks that they're getting ready to build in Ocean Springs.
Yeah, off of Ocean Springs Road.
Yes.
Man, those have been needed for so long.
And one of the residents say, well, Greg, if they go out 2 more feet, you know, it'd be easy for our golf carts to go down the sidewalk and not, because the speed limit is, I want to say it's 45.
Yeah.
But, you know, go out 2 more feet that a golf cart can get down there, and we can easily get down to Ocean Springs, go through Fort Bayou.
Get through most of Ward 1.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought that was pretty neat. And I said, you know what, I never thought about that. But that's a conversation that we need to have now versus later. So my thought is, I'm going to go down and talk to Carolyn Martin and say, hey, where are we at with this? What is the idea of just, you know, going a little bit 2 more feet out wider that a golf cart can get down there?
I'm sure the biggest barrier is just money.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
Of course, yeah. I mean, I think about that and I think, well, yeah, but would a golf cart traveling down that push off somebody walking?
Right.
That's an issue too. Yeah. Is it going to be on both sides?
I don't know.
I think it's just the one side.
It's going to be one on one side, but it's just like the pathway over the Biloxi Ocean Springs Bridge.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
we can't get a golf cart down that one.
No, you can't. But we can figure it out, you know. But it's not like we're going to have an onslaught of golf carts going up and down that.
That's true. But, you know, you could also do something to the effect of just from where that Gulf Park Estate, or I'm sorry, that Fort Bayou Estates entrance is, mm-hmm. just past the hospital, all the way past the entrance to Kulioka 2. Right. If that was 25 miles an hour,
right.
That solves the problem,
right,
too.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. So, that came out of the conversation, you know, just having that conversation with one of the residents in that, which I thought was great.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just that, Greg. You've got to take that. This is why I think you're uniquely suited for this job. You've got to take that idea, mm-hmm. and be willing to prove that idea right.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because you didn't come up with it, right? And and you could have. I'm sure in the moment you probably thought, well, this is why we can't do it, this why. Because we're negatively geared to view things, right?
Right.
But instead, you said, you know what? That's a good idea.
Right.
Let me see if that can work.
Right.
Because, again, it benefits somebody, right? And and it's not about you.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But your background, because you've done so much philanthropy and nonprofits, mm-hmm. and whatnot, I think you're uniquely suited, and I'll tell you why. So there's a great John Maxwell quote out there that's, if you want to find the true leadership potential of somebody in your organization, put them in charge of an all-volunteer project,
mm-hmm.
okay? When I was in the military, I told people this all the time, get involved with nonprofits, because in the military, I know what branch you work for,
yeah.
I know how much experience you have in that branch,
mm-hmm.
based on your rank, mm-hmm. I know what job you have, and I even see how long you've been doing that job, and I know how to identify you. And when we're looking across from each other, yep. we can look at each other's uniform, and we know exactly who's in charge. Mm-hmm. And that's great in battle, because I know who to listen to.
Right.
But in an all-volunteer organization, where people are there for something higher than the individual's rank,
right.
it takes the ego out of it, and they can leave at any point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not bound to it.
Right.
Which means in order for you to progress an organization or a project, you have to lead with consensus.
Mm-hmm.
You have to build relationships. You have to do the actual leadership tasks that build a leadership skill set for you. You've got a lifetime of doing that,
yeah.
Greg.
Yeah.
Like it's surprising to me, but also not surprising because of who you are, that you're willing to do it. Because people don't do that. We're not geared to do it, to say you could be right. It's always, it's more so ego infested, and maybe why didn't I come up with that idea? That sounds like a lot of work. Because again, all these things require you to do work. Why in the world would you do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
People are not geared to do that, but you are for some reason.
Yeah. Because
you've got a lifetime of doing that.
Yeah. And you know, and just like you said, people can walk away, you know, if they're volunteer. They're walk
Everybody
away
for, should.
Sure. Yeah.
Because they would have to take on more work.
Yes.
And why would anybody want to do that?
Yeah, take on more work.
Like you walk in the neighborhood. Why would you walk the neighborhood?
Yeah.
What are you getting out of it? Yeah. And of course, maybe winning.
Yeah.
But then when you take these issues on yourself, it's not your job, Greg.
Nope.
It's not.
Nope.
It's not formally your responsibility, but you take it on.
Yeah.
Like it's amazing. And people need to have a little more appreciation for that because it's not common.
Yeah.
At all.
It's not.
My soapbox. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. You're fine. And again, that's your perspective, how you're looking at it.
Yeah.
And you know, I've taken something away from what you just said, you know, and it's not my responsibility. But what I can do, if I can help a person, I'm going to help you. And if I can't help you, I'm not going to hurt you.
For sure. Yeah.
You know, but what I am going to do is say, hey, I have did my homework and this is what I come up with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if it doesn't make sense to me or you, then we need to look at the, you know, let's go back and look at something different and see if we can get something else out of what people are saying and say, okay, I got it on this end. But yeah, it's making sense to us now. So
yeah,
let's try it this way.
Well, that's true too. I mean, because again, we all have different perspectives. And again, this is something I've explained many times on here, but we like to say that our perspective is our view of the world, right?
Right.
Which means you have a world yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The world as you see it is your own view of the world. It's different from my world. And the only way that we can share our worlds with each other is by humbly communicating,
mm-hmm.
right? And
right.
having discussion,
yeah.
willing to have discourse even
yeah.
while respecting the individual.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
Because again, if we don't respect the individual, we can't communicate, we can't share.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And I'm a firm believer, but just bringing people to the table and having a healthy discussion. And politics is not easy.
No.
No. But we make it complicated when we start putting all the twists to it versus speaking the truth. And so once we learn to speak the truth and tell people the truth and not have any hidden agendas, we'll be fine. And Ward 1 will be fine. The city of Ocean Springs will be fine. Because I can tell you this, we got some great people here in Ocean Springs.
For sure.
Yeah. And I've ran across some who I've had never even laid eyes on, just walking in the neighborhood and just talking to them.
Yeah.
And I tell them, whatever happens, I'm not going to stop. I said, but what I can do is organize and bring people together so we can have this conversation, because whether you want to believe it or not, the growth is getting ready to start on the east end of Ocean Springs, and we got to be prepared for it. And
yeah.
that's what I was telling the resident. We have got to be prepared for it. And it's not saying that when we're not prepared, I said, because it's going to leave us behind if we're not prepared. So we need to be at the table. You know, we need to be prepared for the traffic that's getting ready to be involved down mm-hmm. there, which we already experienced some of that.
Yeah.
What chain stores that get ready to bring up in here, mm-hmm. we need to be there. Are they going to invest in the city of Ocean Springs? Are they going to invest in Ward 1? You know, this is this type of stuff that we have got to be prepared for.
Yeah.
And if we're not prepared, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. And, well, Ward 1's getting a Dollar General.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on that? Just be what it be.
Yeah, that's all I can say.
You know, it is funny that's become like a hot topic issue, but you know, they're convenient.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be honest with you, if they widen that sidewalk or allow that road to be more accessible, you're going to see a lot of golf carts at Dollar General.
Yeah,
so we complain about it, but man, they're real convenient.
Yeah, they are. And I haven't purchased one. I'm thinking about purchasing one, but you know, it's just like, whew, you know, but we just need to be prepared.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Well, Greg, again, I always enjoy our conversations, man. I really do. And there's part of the reason is that, you know, we can perceive people.
Yeah.
We can perceive people that are disingenuous. We can perceive people that maybe have a hidden agenda or that are fearful or whatever, right?
Right.
Man, I feel a sense when I sit down and have a conversation with you, I feel like I've known you for years.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know your family, but I feel like if I met your nephew, I've met Whitney. If I met your wife, I'd get a warm, embracing hug.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So you're as far as I can tell, you're as genuine a person as I've ever met. You know, you've got a huge heart. You've got a lifetime of serving others, and you continue to do it. You know, that's what the alderman thing is continued service.
Right.
Right. And again, we should really be asking why anybody would do that, right. You know? But again, it's something that I think you have a gift for, that you have a passion for. And I think your virtues and your principles and your faith help keep you steadfast in it. And I think the city benefits from you just being in the city, but would really benefit from you being able to lead within the city in a more formal capacity. So,
well, I appreciate that. And we just hope that people get out and vote on June 8th.
Yeah, yeah, and
check
definitely.
And check the checkbox for Greg Gibson.
There you go, Well, again, Greg, I've had a blast chatting with you, and regardless whether you win or not, this platform is always available for you if you want to table any issue or have any discussion.
Well, I'm gonna take you up on it, because our Mardi Gras organization, Crew Unique, is volunteer at the Suckers, and I've told our organization we got to do this because we got some work that we got to do moving forward. You know, with the Thanksgiving giveaway. With our Christmas parade, you know, I said, because people are still in need, and and we got to put the work in, and we got some families that we need to take care of moving forward in 2021, and say, okay, we got you. And I hear you loud and clear. I said, okay.
anytime. Okay. Also, like, you know, just right before we go here, but, you know, with somebody like you who I admire, mm-hmm. right? You're the people that you mentioned who have invested in you. I'd love to talk to them. Okay. People who have influenced you in such a way. So if they're interested, tell them. I'd love to find out, like, what is it about them that you've connected with that has been impactful for you and their backstory, and you know, again, why they're willing to spend their time to invest in somebody. Honestly, but anyway, Greg, I've had a blast.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
All right, everybody. We'll see you.
Bye.
Everybody, I hope you enjoyed that episode. I certainly did. And if you want to follow more and hear more, you can check us out on any of the major podcasting platforms. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, everything. You can also follow us on social media. I've got a YouTube channel, so search for Shop and Chivalry. Subscribe there. We also have Instagram. Just look for Shop and Chivalry. Twitter at Shop and Chivalry, and Facebook.com/Shop and Chivalry. You can also shoot us an email at administration@shopandchivalry if you'd like to be on the show or suggest somebody or give more direct feedback. You can also find that link on our website, shopandchivalry.com, where I have all of my ramblings about the show, what the show means to me, that particular episode. I've got a blog, other media on there as well as embedded players. So you can play the shows and the videos for those that have video as well. So again, thank you for all the love. I appreciate all the feedback. It's been wonderful. I'm having a great time. And much love. All right. See you.